Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Jim Hayes with us, and we welcome you to the show. Today's Friday, May the 15th, 2015. Man, time goes by. The month's already half gone. Listening to that song playing, just added to our website, we got some more of the music CDs from Mary Rodante, who sings that song, and she created that. It's titled Evolve. It's on her Breakaway CD. And she created that song after she had been to just two or three workshops on why is this happening to me again, and on creating consciously and healing through relationships. And the whole song is about that. And so we thank her for that. And we do carry her CDs now, so you can buy the whole CD if you'd like. It's $15. And so now let's welcome Michael to the show.
Thank you. We are appreciative of everyone who chooses to join us every day that you do choose to join us. And we are still in High Springs, actually in packing mode, getting the van filled up and ready to head to Atlanta for anybody that's in the Atlanta area Sunday morning. There's a big homecoming at Unity in Mayretta. If you're from Georgia, you know what I mean by Mayretta. For those who are not from Georgia, it's Marietta. And we will be starting off Sunday morning doing the Sunday service, and then Sunday afternoon doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, free workshops all week. Saturday, the one workshop we charge a fee for, Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing, and it's $125 for the day. We'll start at sometime between, or we'll start about 8 o'clock and then finish sometime between 5:30 and 6 in the evening, generally, depending on the size of the group. So things are rock and roll for Atlanta, and then we've got a week to travel, and then we're in Asheville, North Carolina. We just set that up a day or two ago. We're adding things as we move forward, and we've got another full week, same basic description, different workshop, that we'll be doing in Asheville, North Carolina. There's an art center there in an Episcopal church, and so we'll be doing the Episcopal church service on Sunday morning and then Sunday afternoon. Why is this happening to me again? And the whole routine, Monday through Friday. So if you're in Asheville or Atlanta, come play. We'd be delighted to have you share that space with us. In the meantime, we're just kind of rocking along. Last night we had dinner with a gentleman who 20 years ago when he was in the military, I won't even describe what he told us he was about doing, but he shared with us that someone gave him, actually a professor from a university here in Florida, gave him a copy of our CDs of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? Those CDs actually, incidentally, haven't changed since back then. We've gotten so much good feedback on that particular set. All of our other workshops, we've renewed and changed them out with later versions, but that one's just gotten so much feedback, we'll probably never change that particular set. But he shared with us how that had changed his world, and he left the military game that he was playing and went into healing and now does a number of different modalities. And just listening to that set of CDs, he actually, we didn't get to connect with him, or he didn't get to do his first workshop until about 4 years ago when we were here in Gainesville. And we connected, and then we connected again last time. Looks like he's going to come join us at Heartland. But the thing that came to mind was one of the quatrains. I'm not into Nostradamus, but there was someone who was who shared with us that that there's one of Nostradamus' quatrains that says that the warriors will come to Heartland to heal. And we're certainly seeing more and more of those who've been brought up in an hostility and fear-based mind, recognizing that bringing a mind of love to the situation changes things. It changes every energy dynamic involved in our worlds. And, you know, the person who sits across a negotiating table with someone that they're painting out of the hate in their hearts, of course, is spraying hate on that person, and not likely the negotiations are going to go real well. But when you start recognizing that your human life is about love and you start painting the pictures on the inside of your eyeballs out of a paintbrush called love rather than one called hostility and fear, sit on the opposite side of the negotiating table with that in your heart and therefore that painting the picture on the inside of your eyeballs, because everything you see is a construct of your mind painted from the contents of your mind. When you start spraying love on those people on the other side of the negotiating table, and I don't care whether it's war or personal war called divorce or whatever it is, the game changes. You know, we've seen many people over the years who are in the throes of horrendous divorces, ready to rage, destroy each other, make sure that everybody's broke when it's all over and the attorneys make money, and using kids as a pawn. And when they run into this work, we see some people who recoup their lives and let go of the divorce idea and get back on their second honeymoon. And we see others who continue to divorce, but do it in a gentle, loving, respectful fashion, and therefore are able to maintain the integrity of the children's lives and their lives together, even though they're not living as a couple anymore. So it's pretty amazing when people get a hold of the technology, put it to work in their lives, and it's certainly delightful to see every person in the military world who makes that shift. And then to hear, you know, as Michael shared with us on the show last week, that, you know, the psychiatrists are asking him and wanting to know, what did you do with this PTSD? Why aren't you still in a wheelchair? What happened? And so it's interesting that they're inviting him into the VA, inviting him to teach, and that he's willingly doing that, though he thought I was a crazy man when he first met me. And maybe I am, but this kind of crazy is the kind of crazy that helps people live lives that are delightful and fulfilled and just, you know, just beyond comprehension from the old hostility and fear-based mind. So that's what we're here to support. And that's what we're here to bring about in the world, is to actually, what I want to do is convert 7.5 billion people. Now, the cheap copy of conversion is, I want you to come into my church. Excuse me, don't ever step a door in my church. I don't care. It's got nothing to do with church. But what I want to do is support you in recognizing that you started out with a love-based mind. If you were held as a newborn, somebody went, what an awesome act of presence of love. You were converted. You were converted into an hostility and fear-based mind, if that's where you're living now. And what I'm looking to do is to support you being converted back to where you started and to live with your human life in your physiology. Yesterday's show was pretty awesome for me. It was an exciting show. I'm not sure exactly what and why it was, what it was all about for me, but I know that when I completed the show, I was in a new physiological state. You know, one of the theses is that when you're living a human life, every cell in your body is going to sing with the presence of love. And yesterday's show had that impact on me. I sat here afterward and just relished it for a few minutes before I got off with the project that needed to be done, but just took me to a new level of being in that physiological presence of love. And this morning after awakening, spent an hour or so just connecting to that and being in that space. And when you cultivate that, you know, the world of rage and guilt and grief and war and conflict and strife and, you know, make money because you can keep people in conflict is one thing. But once people get a taste of, I could be living with delight in my physiology, you mean this game isn't about he who dies with the most toys wins? Excuse me, he who dies with the most toys is dead. If you haven't lived a human life while your body was alive, you're sure not going to live one after your body dies. So living a human life is what it's all about. there is a thesis that that process goes on beyond the life of the body. And if that thesis is true, it's a great bonus. But you don't have to wait around for that promise. There are many in the so-called religious world that say, well, you know, just accept your suffering, just suffer. That's what Christ did. Therefore, you should suffer. So if you suffer, then you'll get your reward afterward. Well, you know, nobody's coming back to tell us whether that's true or lie. You get your reward here and now. The other one's a bonus if it comes. Having had the experiences I've had, I believe it's there and it comes. But I can't prove it to you. Those who've had near-life experiences can give you a pretty good description of it. Near-life experiences called by the world near-death experiences, where one experiences clinical death, and what happens in clinical death is carbon-based memory. The database from the generations shuts up, and when it shuts up and shuts down, you get to experience your human life. It's a near-life experience. It's not a near-death experience. When we lose awareness of the presence of love in us, we have experienced what was called the first death. And if you don't ever overcome that first death, if you don't ever work through what keeps you from experiencing yourself as the active presence of love, then the second death puts an end to awareness. We're here to supply and support you in having tools with which to play a different game than the game the world teaches. And it's definitely a whole lot more fun. So, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today? Well, let's say hello to the young man. How do you be, sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Enjoying the intro.
Good. Glad you had a smart trip last night.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear you had such a positive result from the interactions in the show yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday's show just opened another level, another space for me physically. It was pretty cool, pretty sweet.
Well, we did have our Thursday group, and probably just piggybacking on the energy of your show yesterday, we had just a lovely, lovely meeting. We did some more of the, I gave them some options about which of your videos or Guy Finley's to watch, and we watched a series of his lectures on being extraordinary, and and then we had the discussion about how that applies to the forgiveness process and the perception. It was a lot of it was about perception and how we actively construct our realities inside our heads and then live in the lie that it's what's going on outside of us. So very, very familiar work from a slightly different angle. And then we discussed someone who'd done some mind shifter work during the week, and it was just a very rich, deep experience. So I was in much the same state after the group as you describe after the call yesterday. So I'm left with gratitude for the ability to have this twice a week in my life and reaping the benefits of it.
Well, I certainly hear that loud and clear. And you know, I have endless gratitude. The gratitude just seems like it continues for me eternally with, you know, what did I ever get to do this as a livelihood? You know, I guess I just made a choice to do it. It wasn't necessarily an easy one, especially in the early days, but wow, what a way to do life. It's pretty awesome. Of course, I get to keep reminding myself over, you know, five times or six times next week, I'm going to get to keep reminding myself. And then I'll have a week off, then the next week for 6 days, I'll remind myself for 2.5 hours every night. And so, you know, I'm a tough case. So it is quite a process.
Well, I was, you know, part of the process, as we've talked about so often, is having a repetition of the material. And each time I'm actually open to the material to hear something new, to integrate it differently, I change in some way. So that the next time I go back to the material, it may seem to me like the material has changed, but it's really me who's a different person. And Dale Allen Hoffman likes to talk about these different levels of perception. And the fourth one is what they call Pardes, or the secret level. And it's not about something that's being hidden and you have to be in a certain club to get it. It's about the stuff that's right there at the surface to be seen, but because we were told to perceive it differently, we miss it. And that's why I really enjoy hearing you in your intros on the show and watching the videos over and over again and integrating the Way of Mastery material and the Guy Finley stuff and the Dale Allen Hoffman stuff, because I can watch my perception shifting. You know, Dale was here and he did a chanting and toning evening, and there were things that happened inside me that I don't have any words for. And yet I've experienced since then that I get a slightly different response out of my worksheets and the other energy and tapping work I do. I seem to get, ever since he's been here, tears have come more easily several times. And insights into the work and the things that I've said popping in my perception differently, coming right up to the surface where I can see them. And last night we were listening to a Guy Finley lecture I've probably heard, I don't know, three or four different times. And I heard him say something, and I had to stop the video and say to the other two people in the group, have you heard me say something similar to this on the show? And the one person smiled because she knew exactly what it was. And I had never picked that up before when I was listening to Guy Finley. But it's the idea of the statement that I integrated out of Way of Mastery and Course in Miracles and Guy Finley's work, and it just goes like this. You have the infinite capacity to choose the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment of time. And the second part of it is the choice of the focus of your conscious awareness in each moment creates your experience of life. So if you put those two together, you and I each have the infinite capacity to create our experience of life in each moment. And words so similar to that were coming out of Guy Finley that it just stunned me that I hadn't perceived it prior to last night's viewing. So that's my offering. Again, I've talked about this before. Guy Finley talks about how in order to learn from anything or anyone, I must make myself subordinate to that person. And my way of talking about that is that I need to go into a situation believing that what I currently think I know is either only partially true or completely false. Every situation I go into, knowing that I know what I know, how I know what I know, I'm going to leave knowing what I knew. No learning is possible if that's my position. But if I go in with the assumption that what I think I already know is only partially true or completely false, now I've just opened myself to new discovery. So that's how I go into these radio shows, listening to your intro. That's how I go into our Tuesday and Thursday group repetitions of Way of Mastery and the Why Is This Happening to Me Again videos, is I'm assuming there's a lot of stuff here that I haven't understood yet. So that's my offering for the day.
So kind of like the old adage that the mind is like a parachute, only works when it's open?
Yeah. And like Guy Finley likes to say, we all have wings that only open in midair.
Say that one, Tim. It's cut out on me.
We all have wings that only open in midair.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. That's definitely on track. Well, it's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing to just watch how the process just continues to unfold. And, you know, if we live in an infinite universe, then it would make sense that it would be an infinite process. Some people get upset because it wasn't over 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. And if we're actually ever going to get to truly comprehend this, is one of the Beatitudes. And in Aramaic, it speaks of, if we follow this set of instructions, in the Beatitudes, a whole set of instructions, it says we will comprehend the invisible source of creation. That's the ultimate end of the process, is we will comprehend and move into relationship with the divine. And the divine, not the guy with the red, or the guy with the beard and the, you know, the golden scepter somewhere off in the sky, but rather the presence of love, that as we allow ourselves to more and more get into that relationship, everything opens, everything shifts, everything changes. Those who have poo-pooed it because somebody beat them up over some sort of religious interpretation, it's a shame, it's sad that they have cut themselves out of that awesome experience. Well, let's check with Jeannie and see if she's got anybody with a hand up in the phone queue or anybody with a question in the chat room.
We actually have two hands up. So the first one is area code 901. You're on the air. Shoot.
901, give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me? Hi, this is Bernie. This is Glenda. I'm sorry. So can you hear me? Hello?
Bernie, yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Michael has
all
to
right.
dial back in if you'll give him just 1 minute.
Okay.
His phone just disconnected, so but we can hear you
okay.
good.
Okay, thanks. I was having trouble getting my speaker thing going. Anyway,
we understand how that one goes. We do that all the time. Okay, he's back with us. Michael, this is Brenda from Memphis.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Hi there. I just have a comment. I don't know if you have heard this on the news, but this morning on the BBC Outlook, they were talking about the Castillo Gabron, the prophet. And they were talking about how there's a company or somebody in Hollywood who has made an animated movie out of the prophet. And also that in one of the countries, I don't know if it was Lebanon or wherever he was from, they have started now using that book as part of the school curriculum. And
wow.
When I heard that, I thought, yep, the paradigm shift is moving along, you know, because
boy,
there's so
ever.
Much difference. Yes, yes. So I'm excited to see how this animated thing did. And they were talking about how he had left drawings and such like that. So
right.
that they had some stuff to work with. So I think that I just wanted to make you aware of that. And I think it's kind of gives you goosebumps to see where the movement is going, you know, where the paradigm shift is going and how it's going. But to become part of the school curriculum, I think, is amazing. And that's
that
my comment for today. All right.
Cool.
Well, y'all have a good day. They've got barbecue festival going down here in Memphis, and it's a beautiful day, and my sister is here with me. So
let me ask, because there was so much background noise from Michael's phone or someone, I could not hear what book, what video.
Oh, it's The Prophet by Cahil Gibran.
Okay, thank you.
All right. You're familiar with that?
Yes, very.
Okay, yes, that's what it is. And so supposedly, and I don't know if the animation has been put out there for public viewing or not, or if it's just, you know, has just been finished and such like that. So, anyway.
Cool.
All
I
right,
see there's a trailer. I see there's a trailer on YouTube for it. It's actually done.
Oh,
it's
good.
An hour and 25 minutes. It was done in 2014. So I have to see if we can get a copy of it. That's cool to know about.
Another
post I did today on my Facebook page this morning which I thought is just another sign of the shift happening.
Mm-hmm.
There was, and it didn't say what town it was in, but there were police who were stopping people at Christmas. And they'd engage them in conversation, and people would be talking about why they're going to shop for this toy for their children or whatever. And this is in a shopping plaza, and they had policemen in the stores buy the item they were looking for and give it to them.
Wow. That's
interesting.
Talk
about the paradigm shift.
Right. There's another city, too, that they were talking about, and I just caught the tail end, so I have no idea what it was, where they're having citizens groups who are initiating the gathering for dialogue with the police and the people. And I'm not, you know, I have no real information about it, but it sounds like something similar to that, where I think we're going through that shift, where police now maybe will revert back to peace officers, and citizens will then be more, or in agreement, be more peaceful.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I've been pushing that on my Facebook page on a regular basis with every police atrocity that comes along. It's like, let's get rid of police and law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
They're aberrations. They always turn criminal. All you have to do is look at the Milgram experiment to see what happens and why that happens. And so let's train, really, truly train police officers. And I've posted a couple of things on my my Facebook page in the last few days about, you know, one is where police are dancing in the streets with people, and this is what we peace officers would do. You know, this is the game we need to be engaged in. You know, what if in Boston today, what if the police in Boston started going to the schools and finding out about the kids that are being successful and going to their homes and acknowledging them and their parents for their successes, and the kids that are having problems, what if the police, instead of investing in their guns and their weapons and their tanks and their bullets and their shields and their vests and their armaments, what if they actually started to invest in, you know, this kid's really working hard and they're not quite making it. Let's hire him a tutor. What if police started to do that? Do you think we could have riots in the streets? No. The game is set up to fail the way it's currently structured. We need to get rid of law enforcement totally and completely. We need to get rid of police totally and completely. And the viable alternative is, as you say, peace officers, people who are trained in peace, have healed themselves and create peace where they go. Instead of, you know, one of the highest alcohol rates, drug abuse rates, and spousal abuse rates in the country is police. And they're the people that we pay to go and beat up on people who have got problems. It's like, let's create some healing here, folks. It's time for a change in the whole game. So it's
from
cool
our
to
point
see
of
places
reference,
where it's happening.
Right, and from our point of reference, we understand that that is as it will happen. You know, it can't happen any other way. I spoke to the head of the Policemen's Association in Memphis when he was at one of our libertarian meetings and made that suggestion that they put peace officer on all of the police cars instead of police. And he said, that is a great idea. I'm going to mention that on my radio talk show tonight, but I didn't get to listen to see if he actually did it. But he is possibly running for mayor of Memphis. So it will be intriguing to see what might happen with that. So,
Maybe you need to become one of the callers on his show and really open that dialogue publicly with it.
That's probably the case, that I will need to do that, and I'll find the schedule when he's on a regular basis. So the seeds are being planted, so we'll see
what
happens. That's
all we need.
All right, well, I'm going to hang up and continue listening, and everybody have a great day.
All right, have a blessed one. Great weekend.
Okay, thank
you. All right. And a woman said, tell me about children. If that's from the prophet, it's just an amazing, amazing book. It speaks of how our children are not our own, that we are the bow from which the arrow flies. Some pretty powerful stuff.
Cool. Well, Jeannie, you've got another caller?
We actually have two callers. Oh, echoing on your phone. I first wanted to just say, you need to mute.
I'm muted.
It just bounces back. Okay, so before I turn the next caller on, I just wanted to say, I just shared, you were talking about movies and things, we put this out once before, but I went ahead and put it on our website again. Check out the trailer for Disney's film. It's a 3D animation that's going to come out in June, and it's called Inside Out, and it's about meet the voices that are in your head. And it's really cute, and it sounds like it's this work in cartoon form. But anyway, our next caller is area code 616. You're on the air.
616, welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from? Hello, 616. Are you there? You are on the air. Can you hear us? Okay, well, hold on. Jeannie's having some technological difficulties, and she clicked her microphone, but then her phone went into a spin, or her computer went into a spin, so she may not yet have actually turned you on. So stay with us, and as soon as she gets it back, we'll hopefully have a con. Okay, there, we should be on now. 616?
Hello?
Well, hey there. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
This is Maureen from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Welcome.
Yep, I wanted to say thank you. It was actually my question that you answered yesterday from email.
Did it fit for you?
Yeah, it did. It actually gave me a whole new level of understanding for 5A and 5B. And
yay,
so,
that's my job.
Yeah, so that was awesome. And I also want to thank Dr. Kim for recommending the book, The Gentle Art of Blessing, because I bought that yesterday and started reading it. And that actually has helped me with the very last step of, making a new goal, because I always struggle with that. And, knowing that I could, offer a blessing to whatever my trigger is was, it really helped. And it really helped, understanding the rachma as well and how to get back into a loving presence. And I actually had an insight this morning that I wanted to offer as a quick three-step process of, breathe, cancel, and then bless, as an abbreviated, going straight to five and straight to the last step, like when you're in that moment and you want to get back to the presence of love really quickly.
Awesome. Great short form. Breathe. Cancel, bless.
So
awesome. That's a great, nice when that guidance comes directly, isn't it?
It is. The work is truly awesome. I listen to you every day, and I just wanted to say thank you and give that offering.
Well, delighted, and thank you. And we're looking to connect people to their own inner tutor, their intuition. Because that's where the direct teacher comes, and that's where the real learning, your direct insight comes. So that's awesome that you're opening that space in yourself, and that's what we want to support opening for everyone. And the book, The Gentle Art of Blessing, if you're connected with us on Facebook, or if you're not, it's JM_RYCE. I posted a link to about a 22 or 23-minute interview with the author of that book. It's pretty sweet energy. And so if you go to our Facebook page, there's a link to an interview with him.
Well, thank you very much. Many blessings to all of you.
All right. And are you going to the support group there at Unity?
I am. I'm part of the Bill support group. So
cool. Well, give Bill a hug for us.
I will do so. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cool. Okay, lots of love. Bless you. Bye-bye. Sweet. Jeannie.
704.
Area code 704. You're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
This is Dade in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Well, hey there, young lady. How are things in Wilmington?
Hello, Michael. Things are pretty good. I was hoping for some assistance with some worksheets because I am triggered by at many, many levels. One of my closest friends was just diagnosed with breast cancer.
Ouch.
And that is a big trigger because, for many reasons, but my best friend died 4 years ago from breast cancer, and my mom died from cancer, and I cared for both of them extensively, and so... My question is, why is this happening to me again? I'm not even sure where to. I've done some worksheets, Michael, but the question is the trigger. I'm sad. I'm scared. I'm angry. In the middle of the night, mostly I'm angry. So she's kind of at the core of my social group that I play with and have so much fun with and laugh with. And,
right.
I'm out of town three days a week, and I've been going home to this delightful life, and now there's this big, dark, rainy cloud on top of it. And
so I'm going to invite you right now to just take a deep breath, a gentle breath, and notice where your body wants to tighten and hold on, as it did in your last still point session. And remember the little figure who throws its arms out and says, "Let it go, let it go," from the movie Frozen.
I do.
And I'll invite you to notice, first of all, that this isn't happening to you. It's happening to your friend.
And I do know that. I know that. I was making probably an inappropriate joke when I said that, but
yeah.
I know it's
no,
not happening.
No, you said it perfectly.
And on the other hand, what I want to do is be able to hold a space of love for her through this,
right,
and not get, as I have a tendency to do, is go into non-being.
Your story. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So once again, I'm going to invite you to take a breath and soften. I'm going to invite you to let go of your story, because when you tell your story, you tighten up, you lock the energy in. And I'm going to ask you to just be in your breath, in that softened space of letting it go, and just be in listening. Remember Dr. Jim said earlier, if I think I already know something, I haven't got room to hear or listen or heal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to invite you to just let go of your story, and instead of telling me how you already knew that it wasn't happening to you, just be with your own words. And your own words were, "Why is this happening to me again?" So I'm going to invite you to breathe as I share with you that it's not happening to you, it's happening to your friend. But what is happening to you, you're doing to yourself. The anger, the fear, the pain. That is happening to you again, and that's totally an internally generated process.
Yes.
And the way that you can come forward as a blessing to her and holding the space for her healing is by you choosing to forgive your anger, forgive your fear, and forgive your pain. Now, if you recognize that your bloodlines lived in that stuff forever, and so have you, it might take more than one or two worksheets. It's going to be a process.
Yeah.
And so I invite you to just notice where your body wants to tighten up. There's an old habit of tightening your jaw, tightening your chest, and notice where it wants to tighten up. And when it does, how you can create trauma and drama. And remember how in that still point session, when you let it go, you just went into this deep, deep, transformational, quiet place of love. But you can't go there when you're tightening all that up and holding on to it and telling your story.
I have done some breathing. I've done some still point breathing sessions since I found out, and that does definitely help.
Good.
And I've done some worksheets. I'm doing all of the above.
Good.
I get tripped up on the worksheet with my trigger.
Yeah.
Because
you say
you
trip yourself up on the worksheet.
It's not. The place that I'm unclear about when I'm doing the worksheet is what is my trigger? Because it's not Laura, it's not my friend, it's cancer. It's I'm just unclear as to
Okay. So that. Take a breath and soften. Notice where you're tightening up and soften. And so in order to produce Jeannie, do you have something to share? Okay, Jeannie's got something to share with you.
Okay. Hey, Jeannie.
Hey, how are you doing, Dave? So this is actually from a lady in the chat room who has had some challenges of her own, and she said, this is interesting because when you say it's not happening to you, even if it was your own breast cancer, it wouldn't be happening to you, but rather for you. She says, cancer isn't here to kill you or your friend. It's here to tell you something about your life that is not aligned with love. Acceptance of your body's wisdom becomes an opportunity. And she says, and that's my 2 cents. And she's gone through some challenges, too, and she's conquering them. And so she understands.
And that sounds like
$100,000
worth, not 2 cents worth.
Yeah.
So my other input would be that, you know, if you remember in the intensive, we talked about the fact that the mind generates the world that it sees. Our perception, as the CIA says in their handbook on their analysis, developing people who can analyze data for intelligent purposes, it says, we do not record reality. We do not record what's happening out there. We generate it. And so in order to generate a whole picture, the hologram that Dade is seeing right now, a friend who's had cancer, the memories of friends who have died of cancer, your mom having passed of cancer, the fear of cancer that's promoted in this society. I mean, there are a million different files that go into generating the kind of reality you're experiencing right now that obviously contains a lot of pain. So my input would be that you could go to a multitude of objects of attention. You could go to, and this would just be some of the subjects, you know, number 1C in the worksheet might be your friend, your mother, your friend who's currently got cancer, your friend who passed away from cancer. It might be being a female, nurturing breasts. It might be fear, terror, trauma. You could take all of those things and do worksheets, and each one where when you collapse the output of that particular file in the mind and drop into it with love, you'll dissolve that energy. And so all of those things would be objects of attention, and I wouldn't touch an issue as big as this one for you with all the history you've had with it. I wouldn't touch it without a stack of at least 50 worksheets in my hand. And I'd be very carefully watching each thought that comes up, especially the ones that tend to move me into pain. And I'd be starting my next worksheet, whether it's the thought or it's the goal or it's the feeling, whatever it is. And, you know, this would be, you know, probably one of your 77 times 70 worksheet issues. You know, when they said to Yeshua, is 7 worksheets enough? His answer in Aramaic was no, 77 times 70, which means I'm going to do an infinite amount of work around this issue until I'm finished with it. And so my input to you would be the most powerful gift you could give your friend, as opposed to standing in fear and pain. She's probably got enough of that of her own. And we live in a culture, you know, another place would be, another trigger would be sympathy. You know, we live in a culture that says, oh, have sympathy. Go and cry with them. Go suffer with them. Don't go suffer with somebody who's sick. Go as a powerful, clear stand of love and holding a space for them, and you'll actually contribute to their healing, as opposed to go get down into that energy of disease with them. And that's what we need around us, of people who are able to do that. You know, if you go to the Aramaic, where the Greeks translated a certain set of words as the kingdom of heaven, in Aramaic it doesn't say anything about the kingdom of heaven. It says the community of love. You can't be part of a community of love if there's fear or pain in you. And so, you know, you're at a new level of owning and seeing what you're generating in your mind, and a new level of your work. And I hold the space that you're able to move through this, and we hold the space as a community, the whole community, whether it's people who are in Europe right now or in Asia or in Australia or South America that are listening to this show, that we hold the space for you in your healing process and your friend in her healing process and whatever that looks like for her.
Thank you. I was certainly wouldn't say that I did so with perfection, but I, with Kelly and my mom, I held a space of love quite to a large degree. It was afterwards that my stuff came forth. So. Given my dynamic.
And afterward would be the time to really do your work on an ongoing basis. You know, a lot of people, they're introduced to the tools, and they work through their current traumas. They go, oh, well, everything's cool. I'm just going to go on with the same old way of living. As opposed to, gee, I got through whatever's current for me. I'm going to keep doing my work instead of waiting until the next crisis to tap back in and do it. And a lot of people do their work on a crisis-oriented basis. We only see them when they're in crisis. Instead of on a consistent, persistent, daily basis, for all the years of my life, I'm going to spend time washing my mind the same way as all the years of my life I'm going to spend time washing my body. And, you know, Dr. Tim was talking a couple of weeks ago about a video that he'd seen on mental hygiene and how it's missing in our culture. You want to share some of that, Dr. Kim?
It's a psychologist who's a twin, and he says, as a twin, he's an expert in favoritism, because if his cookie was just a tiny bit smaller than his identical twin's cookie, he knew it. And he said, we have in our culture raised the art of physical hygiene to such a level that a 4 or 5 year old knows they have to brush their teeth every day. If they get a scrape, they have to get a Band-Aid and clean it and cover it up. And yet we aren't taught the first thing about mental hygiene, about perseveration or negative self-talk or, you know, blowing things out of proportion or obsessing about something that never really happened or that might happen. And so he advocates for the use of some simple tools that are, you know, he says, they're solid evidence to dictate that they or to express that they work. And, you know, I'd love to have him eventually respond to one of my offerings and get tuned into this work. This is a wonderful TED Talk that basically says what Michael just said. And it lays out several examples of how even intelligent people who are studying psychology don't do mental hygiene on a regular basis. They wait for a crisis, if at all. So pick up the tools, and here's to our health.
And we're honored and blessed that you've chosen to call in and open this subject, because it's a major one on the planet. A lot of women running scared. You know, we've got women who are having parts of their body removed just in case something happens. That's how much terror there is and how much insanity there is going on the planet. And sadly, we live in a culture that traditional medicine offers, or what's become traditional medicine, offers treatment and knows little or nothing about healing. And it's all about treatment. I think that any physician who does not offer healing along with treatment should be found liable for malpractice.
That would be most
healing.
Of them.
Yes. Yeah, it would, sadly. And not through, in many cases, any fault of their own. It's just not, you know, several years ago I worked with the dean of a medical school. And after we had done some still point work and some work with the worksheet process, I said to he and his wife, what do you suppose it would be like if your medical school were a place where young people came in to a gentle, warm, loving, healing environment and were taught to heal themselves and were sent out as healers rather than brought into a classic brainwashing environment where the rule of day, if you look at everything that has to do with brainwashing, that's medical school. No time for your body to function, no time for sleep, high stress, not enough time to chew a meal. I mean, everything that is classic brainwashing is what medical school is. And it's the opposite of training for healing. And I think there are a lot of very high integrity people that go in that really truly want to help. And unfortunately, the medical profession has been hijacked by the pharmaceutical industry. And it's about making customers and selling products. And it's time for a change there. You know, it's like every paradigm, it's just time for a change. So we're glad you're opening the gates. And we hold the space
well,
for
I hope,
the...
I would like to... at this moment anyway, looking at the traditional medical treatment and... I'm, of course, offering alternatives to her to see if she might pick up on them. My dynamic of loving others so much more than I love myself has brought me to. I have overextended myself in these situations in the past and. And paid a price for it physically. So I have to keep up with my work on all levels to sidestep that dynamic, to shift that dynamic and still be present for my friend take care of myself at the same time.
Yep. And we're going to suggest that you absolutely, totally, completely 1,000% give up on the idea of loving yourself. Like, forget that so totally and so completely that you never waste an instant of your time, again, trying to love yourself, because you can't. If you listen to Vladimir Lenin, he says, here's how you destroy a culture. You change the meaning of its words. Love describes a state of being. If you hold a newborn, that is love. The child doesn't love you. You don't love the child. The child is the presence of love and tends to inspire that in you, and that creates certain feelings. But the fact is, you are the presence of love. Strive instead to experience yourself as the presence of love, and the way to do that is to forgive everything in yourself that's unlike that. Then you are the presence of love for yourself. You are the presence of love for people in your life. You're no longer striving to do something you can't do, and that is love them. You stand as a space because you are that, and we support you in that.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. Yeah. And Jeannie.
All right. Well, we'll hold you in a blessing. Any support we can be, if your friend wants to call in, if we can support her with the forgiveness process, I'd be introducing her to Bill's PowerPoint presentation and getting her doing worksheets, whatever else she's doing.
Yeah, I have talked to her some about
all right.
her work. So. Thank you.
All right. Well, hold you in a blessing. Lots of love. Take care. Bye-bye. Jeannie, you've got
love
another call for
you.
Us.
Bye-bye.
Actually, before we go to another, and we're not going to have time for the other callers, I don't think. We're down to 3 minutes. We've got four people on the line. So if you all would call in earlier Monday, we'll get you. But however, someone just texted me, and this came in before the callers did, and that is, how do you do a worksheet if you're not triggered? The word trigger to them means that they're upset, but can you do a worksheet and not actually be in upset or be triggered? I'd like to be to that point.
You don't have to be sick to get better, would be my input. So I don't need to be in a trauma in order to choose to remove content from my mind. And once people have worked through, you know, most people don't have too much difficulty doing their five worksheets a day around things that they have upset about. But what happens when people get free of the, you know, a major part of the disturbing things in their lives, the internal disturbance, then they start doing worksheets on wonderful positive things. And that is, if my experience is not a live present moment experience, but coming from my mind from the past, for instance, somebody said, oh, you know, I remember that wonderful love that I had, and I want to get back to that, and I want to go back there, and I want to live there again. That would be a place to do some forgiveness work, to collapse the mind so that I'm actually living as the active presence of love in this moment, and I get a fresh present moment experience at every instant instead of trying to replicate something from the past. So that, too, can be a place to do worksheets. So we appreciate everyone who joins us. We're down to just the last few seconds, so I'll just say once again, Sunday we start in Atlanta. If you're in the Atlanta area, we're actually at Unity of Marietta. You can catch the schedule on whyagain.org. And also the 2 weeks after that we'll be in Asheville, North Carolina. And then in July we'll start our intensive process at Heartland. So if you're ready to crank your work up to the next level, touch in, look at the website, check out the schedule, come join us. Have a blessed day. Lots of love. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.